Let's turn once again to the reading that we looked at this morning, the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 5. This morning we looked at the miracle of healing Jairus' daughter, and we did intimate that tonight we would come back to look at the first of the two miracles, that of the woman with the issue of blood. Chapter 5, and we'll commence once again at the verse 21. We do trust and pray that even the reading, even though it's the same passage, it will come with freshness to our hearts this evening. Mark 5, the verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand, said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straitly that no man should know it, commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. And the Lord will add that blessing that he alone can give to the reading of his precious word. Let me once again just set the context for this passage. Mark chapter 5, the first half of it deals with the Lord in the land of Gadara. And there in that land of Gadara, he had met with a man by the name of Legion, a man that was possessed with many devils. The Lord in his power and in his might was able to cast out those devils. Those devils then besought the Lord that they would be allowed to enter into the swine. Those swine then ran violently down the hill, that steep slope into the sea, and they drowned. We mentioned this morning the sadness that is found in the verse 17. And how the people, instead of rejoicing at a man being dealt with and a man being changed, Instead of them rejoicing in what the Lord had done, rather they besought the Lord to leave. We mentioned briefly this morning as well the grace of God, and how he encouraged and commanded the man by the name of Legion to go back to his own people, to be that living testimony for Christ. This morning we focused upon Jairus' daughter, and in particular those statements of Christ, and how even in those depths of despair and those hard times in life, yet we have the hope. And we have our faith in Christ, and we've seen the power of Christ. But this evening I want us to look at this woman with the issue of blood. The Lord Jesus is on the move. Jairus has came and fallen at his feet. Jairus has came and brought that great need for his daughter. And that plea, that request has been answered. The Lord is coming with him. The Lord is making his way up from that boat, up the road towards Jairus' house. But as they're making that way with that great throng of people all around, one lady's life is about to be changed forever. Five things I want to leave with you this evening. Now don't worry when I say five things, it won't be a 2-hour sermon. We'll still get out all right in time. But I want you to notice firstly the verses 25 and 26. You have the depravity of the woman. The depravity of the woman, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. It was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. For 12 years, this lady had suffered. For 12 years, day after day, night after night, that issue of blood continued to flow. She had no ease, no let up. She hadn't, as we look upon it now, a case of good days and bad days. This was a lady that for year after year had suffered bad days and worse days. Every single moment of her life with those 12 years and that 12-year struggle, she had endured hardship and intense struggle, discomfort, and yea, pain. She had been to doctor after doctor. She had been to physician after physician. Probably started with the best doctor in the land. That town which she lived there at that river, at that sea's edge, she probably went to the most famous doctor, the one with the best expertise, the one with the most years of knowledge. And she went to him and she confessed to him her great need and what was the ailment in her body at that time. And the doctor, with all of his expertise and knowledge, whatever he recommended, she paid for and she took. It didn't work. Then she maybe moved on to the next doctor, and maybe her neighbor came and said, "Have you tried this other doctor down the road? He's very knowledgeable. They're very good at what they do. Go to him." Doctor after doctor. Treatment after treatment. She tried them all. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. She didn't just suffer before the treatments. We even see in these verses that she suffered during the treatments. Those concoctions, those vile remedies that were given to her, nothing helped her. Rather, even in the dosage, even in the taking of the medications and the taking of those concoctions, she felt awful. No peace, there was no let up. She suffered day and daily. And every single time she went to a doctor, she paid. Didn't have NHS. Every time that she went to a doctor or anyone with medical expertise, she then had to open the purse and hand out more money. None of it helped. her illness was such that she couldn't work. And as her condition grew worse, practically she was unable to go anywhere. No work meant no money. No benefit system in those days. There was no setup with the Roman government and that land of Judea that would pay out for anyone that couldn't work. No work meant no money. No money meant no more opportunities for treatment or consultations. Physically, she was a mess. Bankrupt. Dying. Lost. Spiritually, she was a mess as well. She was dead in her sins. With no way of curing herself or helping herself. In the world, it couldn't help her. All of those educated people, all of those trained medical professionals, all of those years of expertise added together, and yet this was a woman who was beyond any of their helps. Oh, I'm sure they meant well. I'm sure they gave of their best expertise and their best advice. I'm sure they tried everything that had maybe worked for others in the past. But here was a lady, they tried everything, and it got to the point, doctor after doctor, medical personnel after medical personnel, what did they have to do? They had to wash their hands and say, I'm sorry, I'm out. I've tried everything. I've tried everything that I know, and I can't help you. I can't cure you. I can't even make you a little better. And all of the different ways and all of the different means of that day, tried them all. Sinner in this meeting today, the world is no different in its treatment of you. It's treatment of your spiritual need. The world will try everything. The world will offer you many different remedies. And each and every one in the world today, all they'll say, you try this remedy, you try this craze, you try this ploy, and you try it and enjoy it. Oh, you'll have a great life with it. It'll help you to no end. But it'll never cure you. Can the world offer you anything that will take away your sins? No. Can the world offer you anything that will take away the guilt? No. Rather, the world, just as it was with this lady, it'll only leave you in a worse condition. The world can't give you peace with God. The world can't give you that joy of fellowship with the God in heaven, our Father in heaven. It can only bring you death. That's what James tells us in James 1, verse 15. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. This was where this lady was heading. It wasn't a case that this woman was eventually going to wake up after year 13 or year 14 and suddenly she was going to be cured. There was nothing that could be done to save this woman, and all she was heading was on a downward spiral towards death due to her condition. She was never going to be saved. Never going to be cured by the world. You know, the best day in her life was to that point. It was the day she opened her purse. There's no coins left. That was the best day in her life to that point. Whenever she opened up that purse and she looked in it and there's not one coin left. Why? Because she couldn't then put her trust in anyone else in the world. She couldn't turn and try another coin upon another doctor. Rather, she realized, I have nothing. I have nothing. I can't help myself. And I can't try any other way in this world. She's at rock bottom. Depravity of the woman. Notice with me, secondly, the verses 27 and 28, you have the decision of the woman. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There in that town and in that area where she was, as she moved from man to woman and all of around her community, she heard about this man by the name of Jesus Christ. Even though we're barely into the book of Mark, yet the fame of the Lord Jesus had been spreading already. Men and women were being saved. Men and women with all of the different ailments and all of the different needs were being met and being gloriously changed and transformed by Christ. Blind men I saw. Lepers were cleansed of their leprosy, and their skin was as if it was a child's skin. The lame suddenly were no longer sitting upon a floor, but rather the lame were now walking because of Christ. And that woman that day, as she came into that crowd, after hearing all of that wonderful news about Jesus Christ, she came with that desire, I must get to Christ. I can't miss this opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's right here in my town. He's right here, right where I need him to be. And let me tell you, man and woman, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He's here. He's promised every single time that the doors of the house of the Lord are open, and every single time that men and women are gathered together in his name, he has promised to be here in the midst. And you may have come into this meeting tonight with burden of sin upon you. You may have come into these meetings tonight with that burden of guilt upon you and that desire to be cleansed and that desire to be made whole. Let me tell you, men and women, Christ is here and can save. If you but come, put your faith and trust in him. All of her money had been spent. Her health was ruined. Her life was ruined. She had heard of Christ. The great prophet who was going about preaching and teaching. The great prophet who was going about, that wonderful man as they saw him, who could cleanse and heal and cure every single disease in that area. In that land. She came into the crowd that day. She moved, she positioned herself so that all she simply had to do was simply reach out to Christ. Do you notice her hunger? Remember, this lady is gravely ill. This lady, day by day, is struggling. 12 years and that blood has never ceased. And the weakness upon that body, and yet the hunger is there and the desire is there within her. I must get to Christ. Can't miss this opportunity. And even though there's a great crowd of people, even though I'm sure there's great hustling and bustling, people are trying to get the best position in that crowd to get as close to Christ so that whenever he makes his way to Jairus' house, that they're there in the best viewpoint, they're there in the best advantage point to see everything that's going to happen. And there's that lady, she's trying to keep up, but that hunger is there. I don't care what everyone around me is doing, I'm getting to Christ. May that be the case tonight, regardless of what the world will seek to do. To stop a man or a woman from coming to Jesus, that hunger would be there, found in our hearts, to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. not only her hunger, but did you note her humility? She didn't come and stand in front of the Lord. She didn't even grab his shoulder or his arm. She didn't wrap her arms around his neck. She came to the hem. Luke 8 in verse 44 records this account as well. It says she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Matthew 9 in verse 20, it tells us she touched the hem of his garment. Why the hem? Why'd she not touch the sleeve? Why'd she not touch the collar? Why the hem? You know by looking at me, I'm no seamstress. But what's the last part on a garment before the garment's finished? It's a hem. Whenever the hem is put upon a garment, what does that mean? It means that the garment is complete. Near that lady, she comes not to any other part, but she comes to the finished part, the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's where her faith is in. It's not her faith in his birth, but it's her faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Men and women tonight, if we believe in the birth of Jesus Christ, it's not enough to save us. Understand that. Yes, it's important to believe in the virgin birth of Christ. It's fundamental, but it will not save you believing in the birth. It's the finished work of Christ is where our salvation is found. There upon the cross, after a life of perfection, and there upon the cross is the Lord Jesus Christ hung high above all, and his arms are outspread and endured the wrath of God, and all of the punishment came upon him in those 3 hours of darkness. What did he cry at the end of the 3 hours? He cried, "Tetelestai." Full atonement had been made. Full debt paid. Finished work of Christ. Men and women, tonight, your salvation is by coming to the cross. That's where the salvation is found for men and women from their sins tonight. That is where your forgiveness is found. It's when you come to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. The woman, she reached out and she touched the very hem, signifying the end, the finish, the complete work. Our sins are dealt with in the completed work of Christ. The decision. But notice as well, thirdly, in the verse 29, you have the deliverance. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he alone could cure her completely. She came, she touched but the hem. Do you notice the immediate change in her life? And she knew it. She realized they automatically there in the street, it wasn't a case that she had to go home and give it 24 hours or give it a week. Right there in that street, she reached out, she touched the hem of the garment, and immediately she was changed. Doctors today will give you a medication and tell you to go home and try it, 48 hours, give it a week, give it 2 weeks, if it doesn't work, come back. The deliverance from sin is immediate. Even standing there in the street, she realized within herself she was different. For the first time in 12 years, no longer did that blood flow. No longer was that medical condition there upon her body. Rather, she was made whole. She was changed completely. Not for the worse, but rather for the better. The change was a positive one, and it was a complete one. See, brethren and sisters, men and women gathered here tonight, there's no half measures with the Lord's salvation. There's none. Ever you come and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the Lord and you repent of your sins and you ask the Lord to save you, it's not just part salvation, it's full salvation. Full salvation. That lady there in the street that day, the change. Oh, it was a radical change. Complete difference to what she had experienced and endured for all of those years. Her plague of infirmity and illness was now completely gone. But so too was her plague of depravity and sin. She had deliverance. Romans 6, the verse 17, but God be thanked. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What's Paul talking about in that passage? What doctrine or teaching was being obeyed by this lady here in the street? It was a doctrine of repentance and faith. Faith in Christ alone. This lady here in the street, she came to faith in Christ. She came to that place there in the street believing that it was only the Lord and the Lord only that could help her and could cure her from her condition. It was a repentance and faith. She came and repented and believed in the Lord. Men and women, the doctrine of repentance and faith in Christ is a doctrine, a teaching that Christ preached himself. Matthew 4 and 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Understand this, that lady did not get saved because she touched, because she did something herself. That lady got saved in the street. Why? Because she came in faith, believing. That was a spiritual change. Believing that Christ could cure her and save her. And that change is still available tonight. Young or old alike, if we come in repentance and faith to Christ, he has promised to save. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that comes in repentance to Jesus Christ, he has promised he will never cast them out. Never. So my question to you is this. Have you come? Has there been that time in your life, young and old alike, whenever you have came to the Lord Jesus Christ and cried for mercy and asked the Lord to save you? If not, will you tonight? Will you come and give your life to the Lord? Oh, we can look at the physical, we can look at the human aspects of this lady. We can think, oh, it's only about a medical condition. No, it goes far deeper than that with this lady. This lady was saved. We see that even in verse 33. Look with me, fourthly, the declaration of the woman. Verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. What's she doing? She's given a word of testimony. Near that street, as that crowd has stopped, as the Lord stopped and turned round and asked that question, who touched me? His disciples came and they said, Master, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? But the Lord stood, he waited, and here comes that lady. She's now whole, she's now cleansed, she's now pure, she's now completely perfect physically, saved spiritually. She comes and in front of that crowd, before the Lord, she testifies. She explained and demonstrated what her life had been like. Oh, Master, I spent all my money. I've been sick all of these years. I spent my money on every doctor in the land and every medication. I tried them all, but none of them could cure me. And Master, I came in faith today, and I believe that if I simply came in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I simply came and touched the hem of his garment, that I could be made whole. All of the bad decisions, the squandering of money, how she had put her faith in everything else, put her faith in the different doctors and the medications. She also testifies that day, I came to you, Master. I believed you could save me, redeem me. She confessed there in the street in front of everyone gathered around, she confessed Christ to be her Savior. Think of those wonderful words that we can cling to. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What was the lady doing in the street? She was confessing Christ to be her Lord, to be the one who cured her, and the one who saved her. And notice one thing finally. In verse 34, the declaration to the woman. How do I know this woman was truly saved? Yes, we had the woman, or the words of the woman. She gave a word of testimony. The word of assurance that the Lord gave to her. Look at verse 34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Note the first word, daughter. Note it's a blessed reminder, child of God, that whenever we came and gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever we repented of our sins and we asked the Lord to save us, what happened in that moment when we cried unto the Lord for forgiveness? What happened? We were justified. That means we're declared righteous in the sight of God. We're adopted. We're adopted into the family of God. That lady there in the street, she heard the word daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Galatians 4 and verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's a blessing that we have. Not only do we have the blessing of sins forgiven, not only even as the woman was said to as well, do we have the peace with God, but we have that blessed union with Christ, where we're adopted into the family of God. We have
the right and the privilege to cry, Abba, Father, because he's our Father, all because of Christ.
That day there in the street, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he healed her from her physical illness, but he saved her from her sins. Then he blessed her by speaking directly to her. Those wonderful words of assurance. That her sins were forgiven. That she had peace with God. Men and women, boys and girls, do we have that assurance in our lives tonight? Can you say without a shadow of doubt, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? Can you say that tonight? Have you come in faith to Christ? Have you turned from your wicked ways and asked the Lord to save you? Maybe tonight you're still as this lady was, spiritually bankrupt, lost. As we said earlier in the meeting, the Lord Jesus is here in the midst. He's always promised to be. And he's as powerful as we looked at this morning, he's as powerful today as he was then. He's still able to save if you but come. And then you come to Christ, your sins are dealt with, peace with God, adoption into the family of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ.